Oh, yeah. Let's get another week started on the Lori and Julia show. We had a great weekend to go out and frolic and play in the sunshine, and it freshened us up to take on another week of entertainment talk. Let's do it.
Who had a weekend claim to fame? My weekend claim to fame is my last jailed weekend. Because I'm fully vaxxed as of Wednesday. My sexy jailer cannot keep me at home.
He can't.
No.
I told you'd be late on Friday night because I went and saw him. And I said, Lori's sexy jailer. She wanted to be here. I kept her in. He's like, I'll be ready to see her.
Yeah.
He was so good. I heard live music. At Minnesota Music Cafe, GB was so, it was so fun to see him.
He's so good. I bet he hasn't played inside for so long.
Right, and they were kind of talking about that. It was super fun. And then just how nice was Saturday? I mean, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Was it nice enough to carry us on for two more weeks so we get back there?
Right. Well, Rocco sends me a picture from Cuzzy's.
Oh, Rocco.
With someone wearing a Kelly Clarkson tour, you know, like a concert T-shirt.
And I was very jealous. I started looking on eBay for a Kelly Clarkson shirt. But yeah, I went on a bit of a day drinking bender outdoors.
Nice. Where'd you go?
I had some buddies in from out of town, and we wanted to be outside. So I thought, well, why don't we shoot for the North Loop? Because we thought after the Twins game started at 1, maybe it'd be kind of, you know, things would open up down there. And and I thought, you know, because have you guys been to Gray's at all? I suppose not. You haven't really been out. So that's down by the stadium, and it's kind of like a food hall meets bars. You can sit outside. You can eat at like 6 different restaurants and drink from 2 different bars. Anyways, that place was crazy packed. So I went next door to Modest Brewing. They said their patio was booked till about 8:30 that night.
Wow.
So then I found like the last table available at Cuzzy's, and we ate and drank at Cuzzy's a little bit, and then we walked over to downtown to McKenzie's and sat on the back patio. And boy, I walked past Cowboy Jack's. I showed you guys a picture. That place was
packed.
A line around the block and packed with people frolicking. So
but I mean, if you're vaccinated, can't you go out and frolic?
That's you can. That's what we're supposed to be. Yes, totally, Lori.
Yeah. Because this weekend for me, because it's been like, you know, however many weekends it's been, you know, like it was kind of the same.
Deja vu
weekend. And I did manage to go and get an outside table at the Bungalow Club because, you know,
that's
my sexy
spot.
Jailer
lets you go there.
Yeah, well, we can eat outside.
Uh-huh.
So I went with a friend to the Bungalow Club and ate outside. But I mean, it's like, this is my last same old weekend.
Aren't you excited? Yeah. I don't have a sexy jailer, so I got to have last weekend as an exciting weekend. But it's so nice. It is so freeing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just saying, I'm very, very happy. All right, so party next weekend.
Were all the bars crowded, Rocco, that you could see?
Everything I walked by, you know, we walked by the Union and the Crave patios. Right. Those looked pretty busy.
Good.
I was surprised that the next door to First Ave, the Depot, they didn't have their garage door open, which surprised me because that's kind of one of the joys of going there. They did seem open, but they just didn't open the door. I'll have to find out about that. I mean, it was. And then at the end of the night, we had to go up. I went back to I had rode my bike down to Cuzzy's.
Oh, my God.
And all those bars down, you know, Washington Avenue, just like that basement bar and J.D. Hoyt's and blah, blah, blah. Everything was just packed with beautiful young people.
Oh, how lovely. It's
the North Loop is the new place.
You guys, the roaring 20s are going to happen because of the lockdown, the pandemic.
Right.
The New York Times had a really interesting story about laying out all the, you know, because the 1918 flu epidemic, I mean, that was like 4 years.
Oh,
and
brutal.
You know, everything that led to the roaring 20s, and they just said, following the world having this kind of a thing, then the decadence, demand for letting loose
is heightened
substantially. Also people will shed friends.
Oh, really?
Coming out of this. Yeah.
Well, how so?
Well, just in the sense that if you have time waster friends.
Oh, interesting.
You just maybe before you used to make time.
Now, wait a minute. Yeah. So we've already talked about the most stressful person in your life, and we already decided between the two of you it was me. Now, time waster friends. Am I going to get that? You're not a time waster friend.
You're a stressful friend, but you're not a time waster friend. No. No, like a time waster friend is, you know, the friend that they reach out to you via we're going to get together. I really want to get together with you, but then they never make a plan. And then you would be kind of, well, I should reach out to them. And you're just like, you don't give a crap anymore. And you're just at all.
Right.
And so they're, you know, they're like ticking and also ticking off that, not only is decadence and partying ahead, but also, well, there's a dating thing that's happening as a result.
Okay.
Of our pandemic.
Are you
going to
tell us that, or are you going to wait till Sex Monday?
I'm going to wait for Sex Monday. That's happening. But yeah, just a real let loose. The travel thing is the biggest crunch is going to be in the U.S. And the first thing to book is your car.
Right, and
For a lot of places. And I would recommend using a travel agent.
Absolutely.
But the thing about like trying to like if you're trying to go to Europe or something like that, I mean, the State Department here, the only country that is like they say you could like go to is Iceland. Everything else is like stage four because the coronavirus is so out of control in so many places still. But there's this feeling of countries that have really been like Italy and France and all these places that depend on tourism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little bit of the sense that people are like, let us get back on our feet before the tourists come back.
Right.
Let us get, even though of course tourism is such
a
big part
for it, but we need some time.
Yeah. They need some time, because They you know, not everybody, they're not at the vaccination level that the U.S. is at.
Right.
And they're like, we don't want Americans coming over and rubbing, you know, their nose in it. And, you know, I don't know. There's just sort of
an apprehension kind of.
Yeah, there's just a weird time. So they're saying that U.S. travel and like some countries so smart with adding all the destinations.
Yeah.
They added for U.S. travel because
for national parks and different things like that, because people are going to go do that this summer. People want to get away, but you're not.
And get outside too.
Continental U.S.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, that was the big thing. Book your car first, wherever you're going.
We've been telling people that for a while.
It used to be, though, that would be the last thing.
Not even think about it till 2 days before. Yep.
Yeah, I would never do that. But
I would.
Yeah. Not for Hawaii or Florida ever.
Of course.
Or Arizona. I mean, there's always been places that you've needed to.
Right.
California, too, because of all the Europeans that used to travel to the U.S. Now they're not traveling.
I know.
Yeah. So anyway. All right. Listen, we come back. It's our story we can't get enough of. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday. Well, we got the sad news yesterday that Olympia Dukakis, who just seemed like a ageless woman in my mind. I had no idea how old she was when we met her in Moonstruck or Steel Magnolia, but she passed away at the age of 89. And, oh my gosh, two of our favorite movies, Moonstruck and
Steel Magnolias. Loved.
Claire Rhee in Steel Magnolias. Mm-hmm. And of course, playing Cher's mom. Do you love him, Loretta?
In
Moonstruck. So Chris Connolly from Good Morning America, they had a nice tribute put together of just who she was and everything.
Known for her standout work in Moonstruck throughout her career, Olympia Dukakis was capable of candor and deep feeling in her many acclaimed performances.
Oh, man, to give those dogs another piece of my food, I'm going to kick you till you're dead.
In 1987's Moonstruck, Olympia Dukakis was a force of nature.
You got a love bite on your neck. He's coming back this morning. What's the matter with you? Your life's going down the toilet.
And a font of wisdom.
What you don't know about women is a lot.
As matriarch Rose Castorini, serving up to Cher's Loretta, the observations in John Patrick Shanley's script with a knowing smile.
Do you love him, Loretta?
No.
Good. When you love them, they drive you crazy because they know they can.
Olympia Dukakis in Moonstruck.
That performance would win her the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actress in 1988 and the chance to hail her cousin, Michael Dukakis, soon to be that year's Democratic presidential nominee.
Okay, Michael, let's go!
If you can't say anything nice about anybody, come sit by me.
1 year later, amid the other Oscar winners and up-and-comers in Steel Magnolias, she'd shine as brightly as anyone.
This is your chance to do something for your fellow man. Knock her lights out, will it?
For Olympia Dukakis, just some of the highlights in an acting career that began in the early 60s and was filled with acclaimed performances. In 1993, and for years afterwards, she'd make a major impression with her role as Anna Madrigal on the series Tales of the City.
Oh, yeah. Armistead Maupin's series. I think it was on PBS.
I never watched it.
Yeah, yeah. She was great in that. Let's play the rest of the story.
Following news of her death on Saturday at the age of 89, those who'd worked with her took to social media to celebrate her life and spirit. Even though her part was that of a suffering wife, we laughed all the time, recalled Cher, who'd last spoken to her 3 weeks ago. She would tell me how much she loved Louis, her handsome, talented husband. Rest in peace, dear one. Filmmaker Sarah Polley, who cast Dukakis in her 2006 Alzheimer's drama Away From Her, recalled an actor every bit as forthright as her characters. First day I worked with her. Where are we going for margaritas tonight? I said I wanted to get an early night. She said, we gotta have some laughs, otherwise we'll blow our brains out. We went for the margaritas. And when I was 25, she said to me, you're 25. You better be having great sex. If you're not, you better do something about it. Before his death in 2018, her husband, Louis Zorich, found words to honor what made Olympia Dukakis special to audiences and loved ones alike.
She wasn't a shrinking violet. She never was.
That's so cute.
That's so funny. He was, you know, he played Paul Reiser's father in Mad About You.
Oh, her husband
yes,
did?
Yes, Louis Zorich. Yeah. Hmm. And he just died in 2018 at age 93.
Oh. So yeah, Cher said that I guess she'd been in failing health this whole last year.
Horrible time.
Horrible time. Mm-hmm. And she said she'd heard, you know, through the friend grapevine or whatever that Olivia was sick. So she called her daughter and asked if she could speak to her. And her daughter said she might not hear her speak. And I called and I said, Olympia, it's Cher. I love you. And she said, oh, Cher, I love you. Mm. But she was weak, but, you know, she was happy is what Cher tweeted about it. And Dolly Parton had something really sweet. And of course, Steel Magnolias.
1989.
I love the friendship between her and Shirley MacLaine.
It was beautiful.
Wheezy, I love you more than my luggage.
I love that. No, they were darling. You know, a little bit about her that I didn't know, because her brother made a statement and his name's Apollo and her name is Olympia. Mm-hmm. Well, come to find out that
their Greek parents loved her.
Right. But he launched, when they came here, launched a drama club to stage classic Greek plays. And after graduating Olympia, after graduating from Boston University, where she was the New England fencing champ, she was also good at basketball, tennis, ping pong, and riflery. Mm. She worked as a physical therapist to earn money to get her master's degree in the arts. And she was paying for her kids to get into college on credit cards when she got Moonstruck.
Yeah,
her life.
She was like 52 or something
like that. Right, so she did stage and all these things forever.
She taught theater because Michael McKean, who played, Lenny. Lenny, and of course he's Saul Goodman's brother in
Better Call Saul.
He said she was the most amazing teacher. When he sent out his remembrances, he said, before appearing in This is Spinal Tap, he studied with her at NYU. He said she loved the work and she loved the theater. She spoke to me and many, many others with clarity and humor. She would tell us, don't forget the reason you want to do this acting thing. Is it look like fun? And it is, even though the sweat and the angst, don't forget the fun. She would always reiterate that to them.
We might remember why you're here.
Maybe actors are intense and, you know, but anyway, yeah. And I forgot she played Kirstie Alley's mom in The Look Who's Talking.
Oh, 1, 2, and 3. I love those. Remember when those first came out? I thought John Travolta's so baby funny. Was so clever.
And also, she was great as the principal in Mr. Holland's Opus. Yeah,
that is a great movie. If Rocco, have you seen that?
I have never seen that.
Oh, that is a great movie. Yeah,
got very underrated by the critics, but the audience would like that movie.
It's a great movie. I thought that was so good.
So what was that, Tales of the City?
Tales of the City, it's Armistead, Maupin's, it's his... It's basically set in San Francisco about, you know, kind of, you know, the amazing life that... gay people and trans and just everything that made up the uniqueness of San Francisco in the 60s and 70s.
Fun. Yeah, PBS miniseries.
Yeah, Tales of the City. So it was kind of groundbreaking, cool. I think.
Do you want me to play that?
Play the thing from Steel Magnolias. So it's the scene where Sally Fields, who plays Julia Roberts' mom, is at the cemetery. They've buried Shelby. Mm-hmm. Remember what Sally Field's character's name is, but she is
Shelby's mom,
and she is mad and she's upset, and her three best friends, played by Dolly Parton, Olympia Dukakis, and
Shirley MacLaine,
and Olympia's Clary, and her best friend is Wheezy, and she, you know, Shelby's mom is just she's just having a fit, and then here we go.
Just want to hit something. I want to hit it hard. Here. Hit this.
She pushes Wheezy.
Go ahead, Malin. Slobber. Malin. Are you crazy? Hit her. Are you high, Clary?
Clary, have you lost your mind?
We'll sell t-shirts saying I slapped Wheezy Boudreaux. Hit her.
Miss Clary, enough.
Wheezy, this is your chance to do something for your fellow man. Knock her lights out, Malin.
That's so funny, because it was such a heartbreaking moment.
Oh,
and like that was such a good, and she was expressing the desire to hit something, and
right,
Clary pushing
her friend Wheezy out there. Hit this one.
It's one of the funniest comic scenes born out of tears ever.
Do you remember the first time you saw that?
Oh my God, I cried just thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great movie, and I always forget that Daryl Hannah was in Steel Magnolias.
Yes, she was.
And Sam Shepard played Dolly Parton's husband.
Beautiful.
They're hot, and he's hot in that movie.
Yeah, he is. Cheers, Olympia.
Rest in peace, Olympia Dukakis. You are an amazing actor. We love Jeff. We'll keep loving you in all your movies. All right, listen, we'll be back. Oh, Julia, your boyfriend...
On
the big screen and the little screen, Ewan McGregor. We got to talk.
I love him. All right.
Shades of, what is that, 2000?
Boom-bop.
Doesn't ever get old.
Yeah, maybe late 90s, right?
It really doesn't.
You know what? I am not sick of that song either.
I know. It's so weird.
It's so good. It's one of those pure classic bubblegum songs, like Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Never get tired of that one either.
I know you don't.
I mean, you know, a bubblegummy type of song. Mm-hmm. Okay, so... Holly posted this today, the trailer of the Ryan Murphy produced limited series that will debut on Netflix on May 14th. And it's Ewan McGregor, Julia, your number one Hollywood boyfriend, even though he was a dog to his wife, Ava, of 20 years. Mm-hmm. But he plays Halston.
He wouldn't treat me like that.
No, he wouldn't. He would be a lover and not a wife.
I've loved him since, I think, Moulin Rouge.
That was a good one.
He sealed the deal because he could sing, he could dance, he could act.
Yes.
And he's good looking.
Yes.
That, like, sealed
he's
the deal
been
for me.
Your guy he for a long, for long, long time. Time. And so the trailer for this is coming out. And to me, it looks like it's, even though, okay, Ryan Murphy, you know, is, I watched all of Hollywood and I liked it. That was his seven-part series on basically Scotty Bowers, you know, and being the
Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, I watched the first episode.
Okay,
of
but
and
it
read,
didn't,
yeah.
it, you know.
I didn't like it.
I liked it, but I watched it for the costumes. I watched it for the sex. Right. I watched it for... the almost
everything
camp
but
drama.
The story.
Yeah, but the camp drama right? of it all. So he's doing this, and you know, he does lots of other things that are good. The People versus OJ.
Oh,
you know?
He's done lots of things.
Lots of things. So this though gave me, when I watched the trailer, the vibe was Fosse Verdon.
Yeah, I would agree with you, which we loved.
Loved that miniseries if you've not seen that. And so take a look at it. But if you don't know who Halston is, and Ewan McGregor in an interview last week with The Guardian said he'd never heard of him.
I believe him.
Okay, he'd never heard of him, A, because he was a fashion person, and also because he basically burnt out, was out of the fashion business, you know, like I forget what the year his deal was with JCPenney, but he
I watched the documentary. I don't know the story at all.
Yeah, he's got, I don't want to say too much about it because this is going to be one of those shows where you're like, oh my God, I didn't know that. But he is such an influential fashion designer, and people have tried to recreate the Halston look. In fact, Sarah Jessica Parker tried to, the name came up for sale, and she did she was going to do a Halston fashion line. Don't you remember that?
I do remember that, Lori.
And we were like, it's so perfect because of her Carrie Bradshaw. Yes, yep. And if you look at the Halston aesthetic, and it's very, you know, think Liza Minnelli and Bianca Jagger and Studio 54.
Right.
He brought all this Diana Ross wore Halston, but this sort of sexy, carefree ja de vie to American style.
Right.
But because he loses his name in a business decision that he makes, he leaves the fashion business. So his period of time, it wasn't something that went on and on. You know, so that's why people don't know the story. But Ryan Murphy, I guess this guy who directed it has been trying to get the Halston story made for 20 years because he thinks you've got Studio 54, you have the 70s, you have the decadence of the 80s, you have...
That was Halston's prime.
Yeah, you have this amazing talent and this huge ego, and then you have copious amounts of cocaine, the AIDS epidemic is starting, Halston is openly gay, and he is a person who, like many a great man or woman with an ego, has very little care for what you think about him.
Right.
Okay, so, and this is how, you know, so anyway, they've been trying to get this made, and there's a biographical novel that came out in like 2019, which is what Ryan Murphy is using. It's called Simply Halston, but it's a very interesting fashion, pop culture, life, America, fashion, of course.
Right. I can't wait. May 14th, it's going to be on Netflix, and it's going to be a series.
Like, yeah, it'll be like seven or eight.
Yeah.
And there's, I don't know who's, let's see, Liza Minnelli is being played by Krista Rodriguez, Elsa Peretti, who was the jewelry designer, and I don't know why I think there's a connection to Pablo Picasso with Elsa Peretti, but she did like the Tiffany, the bracelet, the bangles. She was like a big time. She might still be alive. I don't know. Rebecca Dan is playing her, and then Victor Hugo is Halston's very good looking boyfriend, and he's played by Gianfranco Rodriguez. No relation to the one playing Liza Minnelli.
Okay.
So, and also, you know, the cocaine in the 80s.
Right. It was a different time.
And he
He
did the first mass market fashion deal. He was at the top of the fashion world selling haute couture. Only the nicest, and then only the nicest department stores sold him, like,
Neiman Marcus,
the other
one, Magnum, Barney's of New York,
the other one in New York,
Barney's
that we went to,
not Barney's,
the one up on Central, Bonwit Teller. We went there.
I know. Just hold on.
Can't think of it. But anyway, only like the high end department stores. Now, people might not even know what high-end department stores are anymore.
But we used to have them.
And then he goes and
Our people know.
Yeah, then he goes and does a $1 billion deal for JCPenney, and he gets excoriated. Instead of like, whoa, that's brilliant.
Everyone's like, how could you stoop so low and let your brand go with JCPenney?
Right.
Okay. Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited to see this. It looks so good. So the basically the trailer's posted on the Lori and Julia show page.
It looks
that was a long roundabout, but
yeah, but it looks amazing.
So good.
I think it's going to be a really great story. For that. The dramatization too, whereas the other one, you know, the documentary, you have the actual Halston and there's stuff with his family, and he did have a, you know, what ended up being his third act. I think, you know, he was as happy as he could be, because the big mistake that he did,
are you gonna tell us?
Would be entrepreneurs.
All right.
Don't lose your name or your brand.
No.
And for him, his brand was his name.
Okay.
And in his deal, he didn't pay enough attention to that detail. Maybe that was the cocaine. Didn't realize, you know, what that meant.
Mm-hmm. Well, our Body Perks, you know, our brand, Lori.
Yeah.
It only costs $36,000 to buy back our URL. So if we want to talk to people.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for the high-end store because this is bugging me. Bergdorf Goodman.
Yes, Bergdorf Goodman.
All right,
thank
fine.
You, Julia.
I'm just going crazy. I'm like, which one is it? Which one is it?
Bergdorf Goodman.
Yes.
Yeah.
How fun it was to go into these fancy, swanky, high-end department stores?
Mm-hmm.
I hope they come back.
And basically, Katie Keene was set in Bergdorf Goodman.
Oh, that was so fun. We love that show.
They might have even filmed some of that in there.
Oh, we love that
show.
Yeah,
we love that show. And speaking of fashion, I don't know how this happened last week, but fashion designer Elber Elbez, name might not mean anything to you, but he was a round guy with always funky, cool, chunky black glasses.
Yes. Yes.
And he revived the Lanvin brand.
Lanvin.
Lanvin.
Okay. And how we say it was Lanvin.
Yeah.
But Lori's doing the French pronunciation.
Yeah. Lanvin. It's a French heritage brand,
right,
and he brought it back to life. He was there for 14 years, from 2001 to 2015, the first time you and I saw the goddess that is Tilda Swinton.
Yes.
She was wearing that black, it almost looked like a shiny garbage bag, but she pulled it off. She looked amazing. She was wearing Lanvin. Lanvin.
Easy for you to say.
And he died of COVID in Paris. He was 59, and just earlier this year, he was promoting his new Paris-based line, AZ Factory, and he did 70 one-on-one interviews with fashion journalists. He was really anxious for people to like it, and he also worked at Guy LaRoche and Yves Saint Laurent. So he the Rive Gauche line. So doing so well with Lanvin.
Yeah,
he was Moroccan, and he was just a really an interesting guy. And I think CBS Sunday Morning did a story on him because I just remember he. A thing of him that when he was like 7 or 8, he would sketch his teacher's outfit every single day in a notebook. And at the end of that school year, whatever year 7 or 8 is, he gave her the notebook with everything she wore every day for the whole school year.
Oh,
and
fun.
She couldn't believe what a good drawer he was.
Fun.
And that it was every day. So
great.
This was a kid that really had fantasies and dreams about. So I'm just really sorry to hear that, you know, 59.
That's very...
And he came to the U.S. and you know who he worked for? Jeffrey Bean.
Oh.
Remember that fashion
line? Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, sorry. Thank you. And he was good buddies with the founder of someone who put us in their magazine. And I was very excited. You never heard of it, but I was thrilled. Paper magazine.
I remember Paper.
Because kind of a avant-garde.
And they did the classic cover with Kim Kardashian having champagne off
That's
of her
right.
butt.
That's right.
Greased up.
That's
if anyone remembers. I remember that cover. Do you remember, Rocco?
Yes, she broke the internet.
She did.
That's right.
She did.
Anyway, but he dressed Gwyneth and Meryl Streep and Natalie Portman. And he was ousted from Lanvin over disagreements with the company's majority shareholder. And he referred to the firing as... my tragedy.
Oh. All right. We've got a... Tony has sent us something about
Tony
the house.
Tony from France.
Yes. She says, hello again. Bonjour. Bonjour.
Yeah.
Okay. No, Elsa Peretti, who died about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
I did the jewelry, but I think, Lori, you are mistaking Paloma Picasso, yes, who also designed jewelry and was one of the granddaughters of Pablo Picasso. Right. Oh, Halston was everything for that period of the Studio 54 era.
Everything.
Exclamation point.
Yeah.
Abane, oh, Albert Arras, the greatest and apparently the kindest man. Oh, maman. Famous to designer, said he passed too soon.
Yes.
You bring up all the great news. So sad about Monsieur Elbaz.
Yeah.
This is straight from Paris.
Oh, good.
Did she say that Laurie said Lavon?
She said, oh, Lavon and Lon Vin. It's Lon Vin.
Lon Vin.
Lon Vin.
Lon Vin. I mean, go Lavon.
Halston.
Yeah. Gaston. But the House of Lavon was established in Paris in 1889.
Wow.
And it was all but dead when Albert got there in 2001.
Oh.
So he was very feminine and just very exuberant and wonderful. So I just wanted to give that.
Oh,
well, I'm glad we had that. Okay.
I know. That's kind of funny.
I've got news for you, Julia.
All right, well, I want to hear
I've got news about how Sex and the City, and Just Like That, is replacing Samantha. Well, I've been talking to all my sources at HBO Max, and I've got scoop for you people.
Okay. Tell us.
Greco, did you ever watch Sex and the City, even as a bi show?
Not really.
Did your wife?
I don't think so. I maybe watched an episode or two here or there, yeah.
Okay. Well,
all right.
We were avid fans.
Obsessed.
But really didn't become avid fans until season two.
Right.
I watched season one. I tried to get Casey to watch it because Sopranos and
Sex and the City,
and we started, that's when we began our love affair with HBO.
Right.
With those two shows.
Mm-hmm. And they kind of launched HBO, don't you think, in a way?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So what was that, like 98?
Probably, Laurie.
Yeah, so 98. But, and Casey didn't, like, because the first year of Sex and the City, it was a shaky
camera.
But it was talking directly to the camera. Mm-hmm. So Carrie Bradshaw,
like,
instead of typing. Yes.
Kind of like The Office. But The Office, it was charming.
And then they changed it completely, mm-hmm. and it became the show that we know
and love
in the second through sixth season,
yeah,
or whatever it was. So, all right. So apparently, you know, because there was a mean girl culture that we didn't know about that destroyed Sex and the City from the inside, and that was Samantha was not treated well in from her estimation,
right.
by from the other ladies, Cynthia Nixon, Kristen Davis, and
SJP. So
this is Carrie, Miranda, and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do we speak to them and their character voices?
I don't care.
All right. Well, apparently in this new and Just Like That, which we don't know when that's coming to HBO, but they are filming, we think, and each of the women, Samantha, Charlotte, and Carrie, are getting $1 million an episode. John Corbett has let us know this. He said, he will be appearing for, quote unquote, quite a few episodes.
Right.
Now there's going to be 10.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I'm going to say half.
Okay.
It's possible he'll be Carrie's primary love interest because Chris Noth, who played Mr. Big, has said he's not returning, although that could be a negotiating tactic.
Exactly.
The only person we know for sure who isn't coming back, because she's made it clear for so long, going back to the third movie, is Kim Cattrall as Samantha. No amount of money. It's like Juliana Margulies in her new book. She writes about walking away from $27 million from ER to stay another, like, 2 years or three
Unbelievable.
Years.
Unbelievable.
And she walked away from it. People
money
walk
does,
away from money. It's
well,
amazing.
When you have that much money, it's like, what's that much more at that point?
But that was her first act. She didn't have that much money.
Well, I'm sure she made a lot of money on the show because she was on a long time.
6 years.
Yeah.
So what her contract was, but she didn't get paid the big, but she was like, no, she was sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
She was sick of it. And Kim Cattrall is sick of Samantha. Doesn't want to play her.
Which is, and Samantha was the character of the four that had the best lines.
The best.
And did, she was the funniest.
Yeah.
She was
the most fearless. She got naked the most.
So funny.
Greco, if you watch any Sex in the City,
she's
you will
the
only
one.
See Carrie Bradshaw in a bra. Samantha is the one who would show a crack, vag.
Really?
But she was so
nipple,
funny.
Bush, everything because
so
it was HBO.
Funny. She had the best lines.
Yeah.
She was
fearless.
So fun.
So fearless that way. So anyway, and she was paid maybe the least. I don't know. She maybe objected that Sarah Jessica got executive producer. She couldn't get it. Who knows?
Right. We don't know.
But I would always say that, yeah, it would seem like the person who's taken off their clothes the most should at least get a bonus.
Yeah, right.
You know?
Or a space heater.
But a bonus, for sure. More money you're taking off.
A space heater.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Thank you, Rocco, for getting that.
So, anyway, it's here's what they're going to do. According to TV Line, three new friends are expected to round out Carrie Miranda and Charlotte's social circle.
So they needed three people to replace one.
Yeah.
Well, I'm telling you, she was everything. All right, so what are the three friends going to do?
Well, we don't know, but they're going to be, because one of the things, they cannot be three white women.
No,
they're
of
certainly
course not.
Going to be
women of color.
A black woman, a Hispanic woman, and an Asian woman. I don't know. But I mean, New York City, that was always the one thing that show. It was the whitest show. And you're like, this is New York City.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's going to take three friends. So it's going to be a social circle of six.
All right.
Which already the drama from that alone will go for, at least two or three episodes.
Mm-hmm. It's a limited series. I hope. Do we know how many episodes?
Ten.
Thank goodness. Because six is not enough.
No, they're getting a million. They're making $10 million.
How much fun for them.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
So, because, again, if people want some entertainment, you can always go back and watch the reruns. But the movies, even the second one that got panned so bad, it's funny in hindsight. And it was funny. Lori and I loved it at the time. But it's cheeky.
Very.
It's just cheeky funny. Mm-hmm. I loved it.
Yeah.
I laughed. And it just felt so good to be with these women again. And Samantha is one of our favorite characters.
Yeah.
So that's a hard one to not have in this.
But yeah. So for me, it would be more believable if Samantha dies of breast cancer and they open the show with them leaving the cemetery.
Fine. Let's just hope they do that.
I mean,
it has to be addressed.
It has to be addressed because I don't believe they would have a falling out and that she moved to California to be with
Smith. She already came. She was already bored out there. She was coming back. Anyway.
Right. It just doesn't seem that friendship would have
broken up. One of the favorite scenes, Rocco, is she goes to California to follow her young, beautiful boyfriend, Smith, who's just this hottie in his acting career. And she's, she's a publicist. She used to be all that in New York, but now she's kind of like a house mom without kids or dogs or anything. Damn. So for Valentine's Day, she decides she's going to treat him to a special nude buffet of herself with sushi on her body.
Yeah.
And he, never comes home.
Yeah.
And her waiting there naked with sushi on her body on the dining room table. It's just the she's the best line. She was so funny. It is so funny.
I know.
She was just so good.
Do you think the other three girls were kind of jealous that she had that? I don't know. Everyone always, when you ask a group of girlfriends, are you a Carrie, Samantha?
We always said that you were Samantha.
But I mean, no, everyone always wanted to be Carrie. Not very many people wanted to be Samantha.
You
Miranda
did.
I was. I mean, there's just,
And I don't even know. I think it was just because you were more honest with yourself than other people were at the time.
Maybe, but everyone always wanted to be Carrie.
Because of the clothes and the...
But why would those three actors? I can't believe, first of all, Kristen Davis was there was any beef. I think the beef is
SJP
and Kim.
I think so too.
And Cynthia Nixon tried to be Switzerland, but she's always on
Carrie's side.
Yeah, Carrie's side. Yeah.
In the show
and in real life,
it might have carried.
And then Kristen Davis just was like her lab. She was Switzerland.
Beyond. Yeah. And so cute. Oh, my gosh.
She had her lab on set. Or her golden retriever.
Golden retriever.
It's a golden retriever.
They're so cute. That show holds up, though.
Yeah, it does. All right.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Lori and Julia on My Talk 107.1.